news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning, Mobile. Baldwin County, it's 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. The show is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Tuesday means Quinn Hillier Day. You got a whole day named after you, Quinn. How excited are you about that?
Oh, I love it. Wow. It's Why can't you name every day after me?
Well, little baby steps here. So we've got...
I mean, I want a Quinn Day, and then a Hillier Day, and then a Quinn Hillier Day.
There's three out of seven.
Yeah.
So I know there's a number of things we want to get to. Of course, you can tell people where they can find your work, quinnhillier.com, and where else?
Just about daily, I have stuff up at Washington Examiner. So just Google my name in Washington Examiner. And you can also get my novels, the Mad Jones series, the trilogy, mm-hmm. at Amazon.com.
So, Quinn, the primary elections are right around the corner. You know, we had qualification was supposed to wrap last Friday, and it did for every office race for office except for the congressional races, and that's because a three-judge federal court panel said that the state needs to redraw congressional lines. Now, Alabama and Attorney General Steve Marshall has appealed to the Supreme Court asking for a stay, in which, in the meantime, we would use the previously drawn congressional lines. Talk about this. I mean, this is your area of expertise here. Was that right, the judge's ruling? And do you think there will be a stay? What are your overall thoughts on this ruling?
Well, the thoughts on this ruling are that although the case law is really confusing, which I'll explain in a minute, the judges here are wrong, because this is basically the way it has been for the last 30 years. And the 1990, post-1990 redistricting, the 2000 redistricting, the 2010 redistricting, all looked at by the courts and all approved, each one of them with just a single majority minority or majority black population district, and the percentage of black population has not gone up. It was like 25.25, and now it's 27.5 or something like that. So it's basically, basically static black population, and yet suddenly the court says that even though 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and 30 years ago, you are okay with only one black majority district, now suddenly you have to gerrymander to create two black majority districts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not steady, consistent law. The Constitution hasn't changed. The Voting Rights Act, in terms of those redistricting requirements, have not changed. Nothing has changed except this three-judge panel just decided they wanted to follow another part of a different court decision and create something that has never been created before.
The plaintiffs in this case, if I've got this right, are a number of Democrats in the Alabama House. Is that right?
I lost track of who exactly is there. Are the plaintiffs.
One was a gentleman named Singleton. Singleton was one, and I believe he is in the Alabama House. But I guess my point is the talk I'm hearing is that this could somehow kind of boomerang on Democrats and leave them with nothing.
Absolutely, and I was just about to explain that.
Yeah.
Terry Sewell, who is a fine lady, is the congresswoman from just north of us. She is African-American, and right now her district is about, I think it's 62, 63, something like that, percent. Black voting age population. In order to create a second majority black district, you're going to have to take some of the black voters from her district and move them over. So suddenly she goes from, call it 63%, down to something like 52.5%. So suddenly, even though it's black majority, if you just have a very small turnout difference where whites turn out heavier than blacks, she loses. That's assuming, though, that everybody votes along racial lines. And that is my biggest complaint, is that assumption has no basis in the Constitution. It has no basis in even the Voting Rights Act. Well, it has a slight basis in it, and it doesn't have any basis in how people actually vote today.
Mm-hmm.
These judges are assuming that people are going to automatically vote along racial lines, as if there are no white Democrats, as if there are no blacks that ever vote Republican. They can't explain, then, why it is that for the last five elections for mayor in Mobile, the city has voted with somebody of an opposite race from the majority of the voters at the time. People forget. Both of Sam Jones's elections as mayor, Sam Jones is a black man, both times he got elected, Mobile still had a white majority voting age population. Three times now, Sandy Stimson has been elected. All three times, there was a black majority voting age population. Five straight elections where they voted opposite of the majority of the race. Shouldn't that tell you that people are people, that we can make up our minds without looking at race,
right?
That not everything has to be obsessively race-based, and yet the judges can't get beyond that, and they have done a disservice to everybody, including, as I just explained, Congresswoman Terry Sewell, who now goes from a safe seat to one that she's really going to have to fight for.
Well, Quinn, I agree with you. You know, it seems like all we talk about is race sometimes when we're talking about districts and things of that nature. But, you know, if the Republicans could use this and turn it into an advantage and have seven Republican districts, all seven, why are they fighting this so hard? It sounds more like they're worried about losing another district than they are gaining a seventh.
Well, I mean, again, the likelihood based on voting trends is that this would bring them from 6 out of 7 to 5 out of 7, but two of them would likely be very close.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's because even though people don't vote along racial lines all the way through, a number of people still do.
Yeah.
And you might have as many whites going Democrat as you have blacks Republican. They cancel each other out. So maybe Terry Sewell holds on. The biggest reason Republicans object is not, you know, that anybody can predict with certainty who's going to win. They are upset because every time that courts make a racial issue out of something, it throws a monkey wrench into the works.
Mm.
And I think Republicans are ready to get beyond that. I know most people I know, black and white, are ready to get
move
beyond
on
that. And again, in this case, the judges are wrong because you can't say that what was constitutional for 30 years is no longer constitutional when you are an inferior court. They are in effect overruling
mm-hmm.
the precedent of on their own precedent that has not been overturned by the Supreme Court. Judges aren't supposed to do that.
Well, we know it's difficult to predict the future, especially when it comes to humans making decisions, but what do you think? Do you think if this makes it to the Supreme Court, they side with the three-court panel's ruling, or do you think we end up, when all is said and done, back with the original district lines?
My guess is that the Supreme Court will issue a stay and let the current district, the newly drawn district lines, which are pretty similar to the ones we've had for 10 years, let those go forward and then hear the full case on the merits later.
With more time.
And that would actually not affect these elections as much as they would the 2024 district lines.
Gotcha.
That's my best guess.
That seems to make the most sense, right? I mean, we are right around the corner from primaries, yeah. And then, of course, general election. The late census coming in has kind of pushed all this back. But, Quinn, you've really helped me kind of understand what we're looking at here. When we get back, I want to talk about more of a local contentious subject with the Senior Bowl coming up this weekend. Last week, it was all about the Trail Maids. We're going to discuss that with Quinn Hillier when we come back.
We will. Quinn, thank you. Hang on, if you would, man.
Okay.
It is 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. I'm Dan Brennan. He's Dalton Orwick. We are Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Lots coming straight at you, including Kane and Traffic, all straight ahead, and then more Quinn. Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5, 8:21. On Quinn Hilliard Day, Quinn Hilliard Tuesday. Zay Trailmates Dalton, somehow they've gone from not being invited to the Senior Bowl to now some of them are going to be playing special teams.
Yeah, and many folks pointing out on the text line, I said predictions are hard, especially about the future. So keep that one. We'll run that one there's back.
The nice quote there, Plato.
Thank you.
Quinn Hilliard, good morning, man.
Good morning. I have trouble predicting the past sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, same here, apparently. Yeah,
that's called failing a test, which I was among the greatest ever at Phillipsburg Catholic High School in failing tests.
Good stuff. Well, some people who have probably never failed a test would be the young ladies that make up the Azalea Trailmates.
True.
I don't think they're allowed to fail tests. And, you know, it's pretty tough club to get into, Quinn. I've talked to a lot of Azalea Trailmates who have come out of the woodwork this last week, as it appeared the Senior Bowl would have a, if any, a very, very limited role for the Trailmates in this year's event. And a lot of people pushed back. It started with Mobile County Commissioner Randall Dewitt, and then the public got a hold of this, and now the tune has changed, and the Trailmates will be there for many of the events this week and the parade Friday night and then the game on Saturday. What do you make of this whole dress Trailmate kerfluffle here?
Well, again, just like in our last topic, this is an example of idiots trying to make everything an issue of race when it's not. Look, we don't have any comments from Mr. Nagy, the executive director of the Sugar Bowl, because he will not talk to the press, which is obnoxious in itself. But we know from Commissioner Dewitt, who spoke to Nagy, that Dewitt came away from the conversation with the impression that the Senior Bowl, basically doing the bidding of the NFL, did not want this vision that they thought was a nod to antebellum dress. And if it's antebellum, it's Old South, and therefore, by some kind of logical triple somersault of logic, you end up with, if it has anything to do with the Old South, it's racist.
Right.
And so they didn't want the maids on their precious woke TV show, when people were watching football. And of course, this has no bearing on the truth. The Trail Maids were started in the 1920s. They were called the Azalea Trail Maids because their dresses were supposed to remind people of azaleas. Mm-hmm. That was the whole point. It had nothing to do with the Civil War, nothing to do with slavery or anything like that. And since the early 1970s, the Trail Maids have been integrated. I think the head maid last year was African American. They have been totally welcomed in places like Disney World, in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and even at the inauguration of Barack Obama.
Right.
So, you know, this is the NFL getting ahead of its own skis, and now that there has been such a public blowback, the NFL has face-planted.
Yes, they have. And I'm not sure they, you know, not on the national scale. I haven't seen, other than the Washington Examiner, I haven't seen very many national publications write about this. But I don't know if it was Jim Nagy's decision to begin with. And you're right, we haven't heard from him specifically about this, so there's no telling. But to me, this has the NFL written all over it, that they're kind of trying to avoid anything that would bring that topic up. And whether the NFL thinks that the antebellum style dresses were a problem or not, I think they're just trying to kind of cut away the fat and make sure that there's nothing for any of these liberal publications to grab a hold of and go after them. But, you know, Mobile, we've seen this town, this area doesn't put up with stuff like that. Even the Senior Bowl, which brings in, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars every year, doesn't sound like people around here are willing to put up with the NFL coming and changing things.
Well, no, and thank goodness we're not. Look, NFL and so many of the sports leagues, along with so many big corporations, and of course academia and the establishment media, have gone or are going extremely woke, which, by the way, was a completely new word to me 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't stop obsessing about race and about sexuality. They just can't. And you know what? I think most of us are done obsessing.
I think so.
Look, I've got a long history of opposing racism. I've taken death threats for opposing neo-Nazi David Duke. I can give you just this whole long list of things I've done in public to fight against racism. But I'm sick of people making accusations of racism when there is no racism mm-hmm. involved. And the Azalea Trail maids, there is no racism involved, period, end of story. And for the NFL, apparently, again, that's coming from the impression that Commissioner DeWitt got, apparently from his conversation with Mr. Nagy, that it was at the NFL's direction. The NFL just doesn't get it. Well, maybe the people of Mobile with their blowback has maybe gotten through, so some idiot NFL official has started to learn.
They're going to be there Saturday.
Yep.
It's going to be a beautiful day. They will be there. They will be seen. They are going to be inside the stadium. And a lot
in
of that.
In dresses, not in dresses. Running clothes, which
right.
is one of the intermediary
right.
Pronouncements.
Yeah, I was joking with Dan that there will be one trail maid somewhere in the stadium not wearing her dress. So I hope you people are happy.
That was that was the original concept.
I know you made reference to this. You've heard a lot of trail maids. I've known some of these young ladies, and they have to maintain a high academic average. They have to be able to be knowledgeable on mm-hmm. the history of Mobile and on the geography of Mobile, the landmarks of Mobile. They have to be quite good public speakers. They have to be engaging. This is not just, you know, this is not just some sort of beauty thing. It's not just somebody who has connections. No, there's
right.
a competitive process, and these are the finest we have, and my hat is off. Young lady.
Well said, Quinn. And, you know, that rolls in perfectly. I want to talk about this. We just have a minute, but this Ilya Shapiro thing, we'll have to discuss that in detail another time. But Biden coming out and saying that this opening for Supreme Court, he wants a black female installed as a justice for the first time. Fair or foul there?
Foul. Again, we have to stop obsessing by race. I will be perfectly happy with a black female. What I don't like is somebody saying that he will only consider black females. That is as racist as saying I will only consider a white male or anything like that. And yes, I would love to come back on and talk about my friend Ilya Shapiro, who crossed the woke gods and has now been suspended from a new job at my alma mater, Georgetown University.
Oh, yeah, that's like, right, the Georgetown connection. I forgot about that. Yeah, I saw the story, read the story, but I should have put one and one together.
It's close to home, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Quinn, where can people read your writing?
QuinnHillier.com, or just Google my name and that of Washington Examiner.
Thank you, Quinn. Appreciate it a lot on this Quinn Day.
Thank you.
Dan, making that happen. Why don't you give him the keys to the city?
He's not going to let that. I've given it to the trail maids.
Ah.
Careful. We don't want a white conservative to get the keys to the city rather than the trail maids.
No, that'd be trouble.
There's a lot of trouble out there, Dalton. Just stick with me, man. It's 830 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, I'm going to look. I've got the history of the trail maids that I pulled up, and we'll talk about that just to clarify after the news, which is on the way right now, and they're going to talk 106.5.
Thank you, Kane. 835 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings, and this segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and the crew doing fantastic work, and have been doing fantastic work for well over a decade in Mobile and the surrounding areas. They are a local company. If you don't believe me, we have a stack over here of dozens and dozens of reviews from people who have used Got Junk recently, and they all are very happy with the service they received. It's full-service junk removal, and they will come to your neighborhood and take care of that junk for you. The pricing is up front. What they quote you is what you'll end up paying. No surprise charges after they're all done. Also, finding a time for them to come out to your home is as easy as it can be. As long as that time works for you and works for them, they'll schedule it. Then they'll let you know through a phone call when they're on their way, and they dispose of the junk responsibly. Even if you're not at home at the time or at your place of business, they know where to go and take that junk. If the junk weren't gone, you wouldn't have even known that they had been there, because they take care of the they clean up after themselves, and they are very good at that. So call them today and set up your appointment. It's almost spring and time to get everything clean around you. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or you can visit them online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
I've heard this thrown around a little bit, that the Trail Mates have been around a long time, 1929. That's not exactly true. So here's the history. The Mobile Azalea Trail had its beginnings in 1929 when the Mobile Junior Chamber of Commerce undertook a project to encourage citizens in our community to plant azaleas along the Port City's thoroughfare. So the azaleas became, there was a trail of, you know, you here and then there's some here. So you could, they were trying to make it kind of a, I guess what they wanted to do was bring tourism, people to come see the, like, it's springtime, let's go to Mobile and do that azalea trail thing.
Pretty,
it's beautiful. There were other cities that, like Charleston and other cities in the South, but the first one to kind of put it together and create this azalea trail was Mobile. And so it wasn't until 1949 that four of the local high schools were asked to appoint two senior girls to serve on what was to become the first azalea trail court. So that was 1949.
So 20 years later than a lot of people had thought.
Yes, exactly. So just to be clear, and of course, 1951, they had the Azalea Trail Festival was born. We don't have that anymore.
I guess,
right?
Not.
And of course, in 1971, we had in the early 70s, I know, just like as the school system became integrated, so did the Azalea Trail Maids. And, you know, so they've been around. They've been around and they've done, but it wasn't 1929. That was the Azalea Trail itself. That was the Junior Chamber of Commerce's idea of, here's a way we can get people to come to Mobile in the springtime. So that's what that was all about.
Well, you know, when you get into these identity politics and what group should stay, what group should go, wouldn't you expect feminists more often to jump in on some of these conversations? I mean, they're so scared. And these feminists who are normally loudest are the first to shut up when something actually comes up that they could actually play a part in. I mean, trying to diminish these young ladies and what they've done. I know that the NFL and their reasoning is that they don't want another Kaepernick situation. And really, I think the NFL, as much flack as they caught for, you know, I think that Kaepernick was not allowed back in the league. Now, would he be a starting quarterback? Probably not. Are there teams he could start for and you wouldn't really, you know, notice a difference in the quarterback play? Possibly. I think if he hadn't taken so many years off, he'd still be a top 50 quarterback in the nation. But
There's a lot of quarterbacks coming along since he left.
There are. And I don't think he's a top 50 if he were to step on the field now.
Right.
But still, I think the NFL said, wow, we have taken a lot of heat for this guy's stance, and he's doing stupid things like wearing bacon socks and calling cops pigs and wearing Che Guevara shirts. He's really not doing us any service here. And I don't think that I don't think any team wanted to take him on because of the pushback that they would have gotten from fans.
It's like the opposite of the Tebow effect.
The opposite, exactly. Right? And so I think the NFL did actually, as much heat as they've gotten, a pretty good job at turning the conversation away from racial politics as much as they possibly could. They told the teams, you know, a lot of the players said, well, we want these ads to show every game, social justice ads, and we want to put these things on the back of our helmets. And the NFL said, okay, you can do this, you can do that, but we really don't want to make this what the league is all about. And you look at their numbers, a lot of people have been tuning in to watch these NFL games. So I think their MO is to avoid these conversations about race. They saw this trail made in their dresses, and they said, we could probably do without that, having no idea what the city of Mobile and a lot of people in Alabama, what their pushback would be. But I say that to say, feminists, like, wouldn't you be proud if you're a feminist and you're about glorifying women and their role in society and being smart and taking care of yourself and doing what's right? Wouldn't the trail maids be women to aspire to? I know that I want my children, my two girls, I would love if they ended up being, you know, accomplished enough to become a trail maid. Mm-hmm. That says something about a young lady when she becomes a trail maid. But you don't hear any feminists or anyone speak up and say, hey, mean old boys club NFL, what's wrong with having the trail maids there? You know, it's just, it's surprising to me, but I guess it shouldn't be, the hypocrisy of so many of these social justice groups that are willing to speak out when it suits them. But whenever it pushes back against any other liberal narrative, whether it's racial or sexual, they're nowhere to be found. They're scared.
And it's the things, what is normal keeps sliding too. And if you object to any of that, then you're a bigot in some
right.
way.
Yeah.
But you're right. These young ladies do. They've got to qualify to be considered.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. They're just going to bind their way into all this. They've got to qualify to be considered to maybe be chosen to be a part of these trail mates. So it is maddening.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is a country that is pretty divided, and it's also a country that's divided by geography as well. Or we have portions of the country that see certain things and certain images, and it means one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then other portions of the country that are either like, I don't care, or maybe even more pro, like, no, they're not going away.
Right.
So, my initial response to all this was, and then the funding, I get it. You know, these AA trail maids are funded by the county and the city, and therefore there's some leverage there. I just don't think that an entity should have to be told
what
they
to
got to do this.
Yeah.
Now, these AA trail maids, certainly I think it's a good thing that they're all going to be there on Saturday, and it's been resolved. Now, it's been resolved without real statement, correct?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Senior Bowl did put out a statement that they were that they were invited. I don't think they gave a reason for why they weren't initially invited.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, all's well that ends well in a way. I think there was political posturing here that I thought was, you know, it wasn't as genuine a statement as could have been made. I think it was there was some politics involved. In any event, the trail maids will be there. It's going to be a beautiful Saturday, and do the trail maids have jackets? Can they wear jackets? It's going to be a little chilly on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I don't think they do. I've sat behind them plenty of times at LAD, and trying to remember. I think every now and then they'll throw a jacket on. Honestly, I wouldn't have even realized. If no one had said anything, I may have said, hey, aren't there usually trail maids at this game? But I probably wouldn't have noticed, and so many others probably wouldn't either. And to be honest, with them being out there, very few people nationally will even notice them on TV. But it means a lot to the people here in Mobile, and I think that's why it's important that they're there.
Well, right? I think nationally they're hard to miss, actually.
You think?
Yes. There's so many of them. They're in these very unusual get-ups, and I think that they, if the players come out and they're running between the trail maids or whatever, you know, I don't know if they're going to play that kind of role, but if they're very visible on the sidelines, I would disagree and say they are very noticed. And if you, for whatever reason, your persuasion is that that's old white racism right there, that's what you're going to think.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Let's go to the phone lines here, and 251-343-0106 is how you can reach us. On line one, we have Bob calling from Gulf Shores. Hey, good morning, Bob.
How you doing? I just really don't understand what racism is. Is racism is... if you don't agree with somebody on something, is that racism? If you don't believe what they believe, is that racism? I just really, really don't understand what racism is.
It's a pretty broad definition these days, isn't it, Bob? Depending on who is the one levying the charges.
It is.
As long as it suits your narrative, we know that politicians and people around the United States, they'll cry foul at the slightest hint that someone disagrees with them. And that really does a disservice for people who are trying to end real racism, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bob. It's kind of like, thank you for the call. All these, charges of racism when it doesn't really apply, what that does is it takes steps backwards.
The boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
Parable.
It
very
just,
old.
It just does. And I would say let's like Quinn has talked about, and I remember this podcast with Quinn and David Duke and all that, and he was in the middle of all that in Louisiana. That was kind of a, that was a very contentious time when you had this former grand, whatever, grand wizard or whatever of the Ku Klux Klan running for political office, and looked like he was gaining ground too. So there was a lot going on in Louisiana at that time. You want to do another phone call?
Yeah, let's talk with Jim calling from Mobile. Hey, Jim.
Hey.
What's up, buddy?
Going back to the trail mix, Dan said something about them getting funding from the city and the county, and I just wanted to point out that's not correct. My daughter was a trail maid, and then later she was on the JC board that runs it. They raise their own money. The girls sell a calendar, and now they're having a big golf tournament. They raise all their money for all their events. They don't take money from the
Yeah, what I'm saying, Jim, or was it Bob?
I think you meant to say, and not to put words in your mouth, that the city and county helped fund the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, they
you said Trail Maze, but
oh,
you
okay,
meant Senior
yeah,
Bowl.
Sorry about that. Yeah, they fund the Senior Bowl. That's where they had the leverage. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, I didn't mean to say that they fund the Trail Maze. Trail Maze raise their own money, and I get all that, but the fact that they had the leverage to say, hey, Senior Bowl, wait a minute.
I was going to correct you, but it just felt mean at the moment.
Yeah, well, it'll be the ninth time this morning. And once you get over eight, it's pretty mean.
Hey, when we come back, apparently everything's fine. Jennifer Saki says there is no crime to worry about in America, or at least crime that we should be worried about. And a new poll out for the Senate race here in Alabama we'll discuss.
On the way, and turning up your voice as well. 251-343-0106. Dan and Dalton in Mobile Mornings. Live in Montgomery. It's the Jeff Boy Show today. Kind of a cavalcade of stars, because here's the deal. He's right up there on Goat Hill. So he can't help it. He's going to run into state senators by accident.
Yeah. They'll be beating the door down to try to get interviewed on the Jeff Poor Show. And he has a big schedule today. He said liable to change at any minute. So
okay.
State Senator Garland Gudger expected to be on in the first hour. And then Jeff will speak with another state senator, Jim McClendon, in the second hour. In the meantime, State Senator Chris Elliott will be doing work around Jeff because Jeff is in his office
today.
But he'll try to grab him for an interview in the second hour. And then Michael Morris with the Media Research Center and State Senator Sam Givan on in the third hour, and a lot to talk about because they're today back into regular session as the special session wrapped on Friday, and they've got a lot to get to. You know, only 30 calendar days that they're allowed to be in regular session, and I want to say I don't have the exact count, but we're at least like around 10 days in, so they have less than 3 workday weeks to get this done, and a lot to get done.
Chris is on the line. Good morning, Chris.
What's up, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Chris.
Look, you're missing the point on the Trail Maids.
Yeah, what's up?
They changed the team names, last year or the year before, from North and South to
National and American. Yeah.
Yeah. They think the Trail Maids are from Gone with the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand, and most people that aren't from Mobile don't understand what they are.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, and Chris, I think what would be great is, and to tie that into a text, IT Jesus, he said, God forbid I agree with anything the woke crowd has to say. He said, it's good to have conversation about these issues, not just canceling them. What if they put, you know, something up on the screen and discussed exactly what Dan did there just a few minutes ago? You know, this is when the Trail Maid started. They had a, what'd Quinn call him earlier, the lead maid or something like that? Was an African-American last year.
Last year.
Yeah, I think talking about it rather than just shutting them down, more Mobilians would be all right
with
that.
That's what this is all about. They think the Trail Maids are Scarlett O'Hara.
No, I agree with you. I don't think. Thank you for the call, Chris. I don't think we missed the point at all. Especially people not from this region, not from this area, they look at them and to them it's the dirty old South.
Yeah. So to get to the rest of IT Jesus's take here, he said, God forbid I would agree with anything that the woke crowd has to say, but to be the devil's advocate, the Trail Maids really do look like some kind of back from another time. I could see how someone from another area could see them as some type of representation of racism. That said, it's good to have conversations about these issues, not just canceling them. So good takes there. And I guess we'll talk about that the rest of the week here as we lead into the Senior Bowl. So I did want to get into this with everyone's favorite White House press secretary, Jennifer Psaki. Mm-hmm. She was talking with the media yesterday, and she was on this podcast at the end of last month called Pod Save America. I think maybe
I've heard it.
You've listened to it or something. It's
Some
former Obama White House aides and speechwriters, John Favreau, not the director, Daniel.
You wouldn't agree with their politics, but they're speechwriters, so they're quick-witted. They're funny guys.
Mm-hmm. John Favreau, Daniel Pfeiffer, John Lovett, and another guy here. So Psaki was on there, and she said that media coverage of violence, which has risen in the entire United States, but media coverage of violence in major cities like New York came from an alternate universe. That's what she said. She read the chyrons of various cable news shows off of the TVs in what appeared to be her White House office. And she said, CNN is saying Pentagon as many as 8,500 troops on heightened alert. Okay, true. Same on MSNBC. CNBC is doing their thing about the market. And then on Fox, Jeanine Pirro talking about soft on crime consequences. I mean, what does that even mean? So there's just an alternate universe on some coverage. What's scary about it is a lot of people watch that. They think the president isn't doing anything to address people's safety in New York, and that couldn't be further from the truth. So Psaki on this, where she thought was a safe place, right? It's
again,
this far left podcast.
Yeah, so like I've said in the past, people she probably didn't think that, but a lot of people think when they're on a podcast, they're in some sort of a secret closet.
Yeah,
those things get played over and over again. You're anything but a secret closet, but that's how she views the world.
Yeah, and she's just
that's how she views media.
She's just taking that time to bash Fox News, you know? And if that doesn't tell you their intentions regarding this Russia coverage, she's happy. She's happy that CNN is talking about 8,500 troops on heightened alert because they're not talking about the rise in violent crime or the inflation or millions of illegals streaming across the border.
Let me say this. 8,500 on the border, whatever the headline she was espousing, that may or may not affect my life ever. It may, it may not. Rising crime in Mobile damn well affects my life.
Inflation, how about that?
How about
that affect your life?
Yeah, but even if I have the courage to go to the grocery store. Okay, 8:59, Dan and Dalton gone, and
Jeff Porcia on the way.
It is on the way next on FM Talk 106.5.